Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 22nd, 2012, episode 430. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, and good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore!
Thank God it's Friday!
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here at Horses in the Morning. Jamie, I was just reading an article on the cool inventions, what a cool time we live in and the neat inventions that are out there. And I got to thinking, and they said in the article, what are the two inventions over the last 10 years that you think that are the coolest? And I came up with two. The GPS, because, geez, it's hard to live without your GPS nowadays, and the DVR. Got to say the DVR is one of them. Those two. Those are mine.
Invention. I would say that my iPhone is my best friend. I carry this little friend everywhere I go, and it has its own GPS in it. I can watch TV online with it, pretty much, for the most part, if I have a good internet connection. I can video my horse and then post it on YouTube to my husband who's in Canada so he can log on to YouTube while we're Skyping and watch the videos. So that would be my number one. My number two recent invention in the last 10 years, and whether it was recently invented, I don't know, but the monoflap saddle. I think this is such a great idea. I love my Southern Stars monoflap saddle. What? I mean, you're so much closer to the horse. I just love it.
That's funny. That's not what I was expecting. You know, I was trying to think about stuff for the horse world that's been invented. And you know, there's been a lot of things, but there's not a lot that just jumps out at you as monumental. You know, there's probably a lot of little things that affect your lives. Well, you know, like shaking forks and things like that. But I was thinking about the life changers. You know, as Jennifer pointed out, the GPS and the DVR both are marriage savers around the world.
I guess you're right. I mean, my gosh, it definitely makes a big difference. The DVR, at least, because she can watch her shows anytime, or I can watch mine anytime, and then we don't have to sit there and watch you guys, well, my husband watching ESPN on repeat. I'm like, you have seen this ESPN, whatever the little show is that they watch every morning, and then it comes on at every night. I'm like, why do you need to watch this again? It's in repeat. You've already seen the fact that your friend hit the home run in the baseball game, and then like last night, one basketball team won the championship, and Oklahoma Thunder lost. I don't care. Watch it somewhere else, some other time.
Well, the, And the GPS, too. I mean, geez, I remember many a day saying, Jennifer, can't you just read the damn map? Just read the map as I'm driving along completely lost with the horse trailer behind me. And she's going, well, I don't know where we are. See, that's the problem with maps. You have to know where you are to figure out where you're going to go. And that's what the GPS helps you with.
Tells you right where you are. And my phone, my GPS, I'm the little blue dot.
The iPhone, I got to say, cell phones are right up there, smartphones especially. I give you that one. Although I'm ready to throw my Droid X out the window. I'm so sick of my Droid X. I got to switch to an iPhone now. This thing has just become crap. Sluggish. It's just become old and tired.
Wow. Oh, well, that stinks. You should have got an iPhone from the beginning.
But I didn't have one on Verizon then. That was the problem.
That's the problem. You need to get. I bet you qualify for an upgrade. So you
I
have to
do,
get the iPhone. It's so easy.
I'm holding out though because the iPhone 5 is supposed to come out in the fall. So I'm kind of holding out to see what it has in store for us. So I'm going to wait. Hold out.
Well, then you might as well wait a year and then you can get the iPhone 12. I mean, there's going to be new ones every couple months.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
The iPhone 5 is going to have a built-in microwave. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, the Horse Radio Network's wildly popular podcast, The Eventing Radio Show, makes it official today as Samantha Clark's newly installed co-host is stopping by, taking one for the team by calling all the way in from England, right smack in the middle of tea time. And thanks to our astute, prize-provoked listeners, we present another over-the-top, less-than-inspiring, wretchedly written, stupid and or pointless internet ads in order to present the best of the worst with a flex and fork, the fork that combines the handling and style of a Ferrari with the robust design and practicality of a Hummer. And no need to wait until the weekend to enjoy your pastry, because today is National Chocolate Eclair Day.
Wow, that's great. I love chocolate eclairs. Hey, I think Jamie, she came up with something. Imagine if you had a phone that you could take the frozen pizza out of the freezer, wherever you are. You don't need to have a microwave. You just wave it over the slice of pizza, and it's cooked. Perfect. I like it.
You know, I find microwaves scary enough. I think I've told you this before. There is nothing natural about a microwave. I'm sorry. The fact that you can take a Hot Pocket, a frozen item, and stick it in the microwave, and the inside of it becomes molten lava, and the outside, the microwave's not even hot. There's something wrong with that. And I just find that, I don't know, I think it's injecting cancer into food. That's my take on the microwave. So make your frozen pizza.
But you still use
the oven.
Don't you? But you still use the microwave,
no.
Don't you? You don't?
No, I don't. No. I'm afraid of it.
You? You are a sick puppy. Oh, my God, don't like the way. I have one thing to say to that. God bless Chad. Jessica Phoenix. The word is out from Horse Junkies United that Jessica Phoenix is back on her horse. So she gets my daily Winnie. Of course, she's the Canadian last year. Equestrian of the Year for Canada and about to go to the Olympics, but apparently she was seen riding again. She broke her collarbone a couple of weeks ago, and they said it would only take about 2 weeks for her to get back in the saddle, and we knew that she would be back in the saddle. And there is a picture over on Horse Junkies United of Jessica Phoenix back on her horse. So let's hope she's all healed up and ready for the Olympics. It doesn't take long to heal from a collarbone injury, apparently. Because that was only two weeks ago.
But they're crazy is what they are. I mean, we discussed this about the jockey Javier Castellano. I mean, my God, the guy won the Belmont and then fell off a horse, broke his collarbone, and he's got liver problems. And I guarantee he's going to be back in the saddle any day. And he broke his collarbone. I mean, we've seen Buck Davison break his collarbone on Saturday's cross country and then show jump on Sunday. That's because they're crazy. It's not because it healed quick.
Crazy's not using a microwave. Do you realize you have more microwave radiation coming out of your iPhone than the microwave? Just saying.
Well, then I can only take so much radiation, okay? I'm limiting it.
Okay. Hey, I have a second.
It's not hot
on
the inside of a microwave, Glenn. It's not hot. The food is hot, and then the walls of the microwave are not hot. There's something wrong with that.
That's why it is a
miracle. I don't
understand. I want everybody to give their thoughts out to Sammy Jo, who was on our show the beginning of the week, Monday, talking about her new baby zebra. Well, it happened that a couple hours, unfortunately, after she was on the show on Monday, her baby zebra got sick. And they thought it was colic, and they had the vet out. And the baby zebra has been back to the hospital a couple times. And as of last night, Sammy Jo said, just got back from A&M University. The little guy is staying there, off to bed for a few hours, and then back to visit him. He has an infection in his IV port. He is still dehydrated. His protein levels are dropping, and kidney function is affected. I will keep everyone updated. So say a little prayer for Sammy Joe's little baby zebra. He's not doing too good. So let's hope that Texas A&M, couldn't be at a better place. So our thoughts and prayers are with you, Sammy Jo.
My Daily Winnie goes out to the lovely Black Caviar, who is set to make her British debut in the Diamond Jubilee. The 6-furlong contest is the feature race on the closing day, and it's going to be televised. Yes, it's going to be televised live on TVG, the whole thing from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., so I'm assuming she probably runs around noon. Now, of course, they've been talking about doing this for months and months, and I guess she settled in. I think she got there 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she settled in. She's been working well. And I put the names down here, Glenn, and I'm going to run through them so our listeners also can play along at home. What we're going to do is, you know, unbelievably, 14 horses have decided that they're going to challenge the Black Caviar, and I mean, obviously, Black Caviar is actually in the 15 hole on the outside, and I don't know how that works with sprinters. I'm sure she'll be fine. It doesn't matter. But she drew the outside post, the 15 post, but there's 14 horses in front of her that are trying to beat her, and obviously that's not possible, knock on wood. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually pick the horse that we think is going to come in second, because clearly we all pick Black Caviar to be the winner. So I'm going to run through the names, and then our listeners at home, or you can post it on Facebook. Who do you think is going to come in second to Black Caviar? We have Cirrus Prospect, Ginky, Hitchens, Krypton Factor, Moonlight Cloud, The Cheka, SK Love, Soul, Jimmy Styles, Pastoral Player, Rested Argent, Bogart, Society Rock, and Royal Rock. And, of course, Black Caviar is number 15. So I will ask Jennifer first, who is your second-place pick?
I want Rested Argent because I want to listen to the guy have to say that a lot.
Rested Argent. Rested Argent,
yes.
It is. Okay, Glenn, what is your second-place pick?
I hate to be a party pooper here, but what kind of names are these? The English have no creative names like I'll Have Another or, you know, my wife knows everything. You know, where are the fun names? These are just kind of boring.
They're a little stuffier, I think. You're right. But these are not even from England. There's an Australian horses from France, a couple horses from Ireland. And one horse from Kentucky. Cirrus Prospect is from Kentucky. So you've got a melting pot of horses. So what's your pick?
Well, in honor of Superman, Krypton Factor.
Kryptonite. Gotcha. Gotcha. I'm going to go with, because I just kind of like it and it's Australian, I'm going to go with Soul. You got Soul. It's coming in second place. So all three of us chose different horses. I'd love to know what you guys think online on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Because
right,
clearly Black Caviar is going to win.
And my record this year has been stellar, picking every winner over the last couple of months. So you better go with Krypton Factor, people. By name, Krypton Factor.
I don't know what her odds are. I think Black Caviar's odds are like 1 to 10. Like, you have to spend $10 to win a dollar.
Yes, that's right. Now, I wonder, though, you brought up a good point, and I don't know much about sprinting. You know, does the outside make a difference? It would seem that you would have to, you know, you still have to do a turn, right? So.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Unfortunately, those of us in America are not that familiar with her racing style. But does she, is she a come-from-behind horse, or is she a wire-to-wire horse? If she's wire-to-wire, she just needs to brake well and get out in the front and go for it. But if she's a come-from-behind, maybe that turn is where she needs to be, and that's where she's going to make her move. I have no idea. I just know that she's a heck of a lot faster than anybody else, and that's all that matters.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what post position she is. She's going to beat him.
And Peter Moody agrees with you, her trainer. You know, he's kind of confident.
He does? I hadn't heard about that.
Peter better, if Black Caviar loses this race, Peter better hide under a rock and try and find a slow ship out of England, because he won't even be able to go to the airport. It's going to be interesting. That's the problem when you're that confident and you let your confidence be known and you totally trash the place you're going to. You better win.
It's a good point. And he has definitely made me nervous with his boisterous confidence. But just because I'm a little bit of a I think all horse people are a bit superstitious. So I guess he's not, and he feels quite confident. He's not afraid to tell everybody just how confident he is. But anyway, that's going to be tomorrow, 9 o'clock. The broadcasting starts for the final day of the Royal Ascot on TVG, and apparently it's going to be live. So you definitely don't want to miss it. That's going to be a DVR thing for me. So it'll be awesome. And then when you're on TVG, you get horse commercials. So the commercials, you don't even have to fast forward to, because they're all good.
You're going to do a list here. You have your own list today. 10 ways to get in shape to own a horse. But before you do that, I have to get on my high horse for a minute.
Hold on. She's in race 3 at 10:45 in the morning on Eastern Standard Time tonight. That's 7:45 for me. Am I up that early? No. Okay. I'm DVRing it.
There you go. You have to get up early again on your day off. You have to get up early and watch. It's for the show, Jamie. It's for the show.
I'll be out riding, Glenn.
Six animal protection groups. I got to get on my high horse for a minute. Six animal protection groups have written to the man directing ceremonies for the London Olympics, asking that plans to use animals during the opening ceremony be axed. Now, apparently they have this sort of idyllic scene of the British countryside. By the way, let's all remember what opening ceremonies in the past have been like and how frickin' bizarre they've been. Okay, there's been a lot of very strange opening ceremonies. Well, this one sounds like they're trying, instead of having big, what was the one in China? The big balls that the girls were in, the big plastic
Wasn't
balls.
That France?
That was France. Yeah, France had one of the most bizarre ones. But anyway, so I think the English are trying to, you know, tone that down a little, make it pretty. So they have this idyllic countryside built inside the stadium, and they want to include 70 sheep and 12 horses in this idyllic, you know, green countryside built inside the stadium. Well, the animal rights groups are having a fit because it's going to be 62,000 cheering people, bright lights, high sound levels, and frenetic atmosphere of the event. Okay, let's start with this. Let's just rule the horses out because they're probably using police horses. That's what they do. They go to frickin' soccer games. That's much worse than this is going to be. So we'll rule the horses out. I don't think the sheep care. What are they going to do, jump out of their fur? I mean, they don't care. They're going to be out there just looking around, having a good time like everybody else. Oh, give me a break.
You know, if anything, the sheep are going to jump the fences, and it'll be entertaining at most. So, yeah, they're all going to get loose.
To me and the audience.
They're going to get loose and run up in the crowd, but at least it's not a bull, you know? I mean, it's a sheep. It's not quite as scary. So, yeah, the animal rights groups are doing signatures and petitions, and I did kind of agree with them here that they say, after all, the Olympics present a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to showcase British animatronics and theatrical expertise to a global audience. And they say a stage show like War Horse has enthralled far greater audiences by displaying their puppetry skills than using live horses. And, you know, they make a good point, not that I care if they use sheep or not, but they do have some pretty awesome, I mean, to create the War Horse animatronics
right.
and people under
remember,
there and the horses, that'd be kind
remember,
of cool.
Remember what I always say, it's a slippery slope. Once they get them out of the opening ceremonies, they're going to be out of the Olympics altogether because we couldn't possibly use horses for competition. Slippery slope.
No, I agree with you that they should be there because if you start limiting animals like, oh, you can't use a sheep in an idyllic countryside, it's not like they're, you know, killing the sheep or even hurting the sheep and, oh, my God, they might be stressed out. Well, there's going to be horses competing in front of 62,000 people as well, and they'll
yes.
be fine. But what I meant, the only point I made was they do have some really awesome animatronics with using war horse and stuff, so that'd be kind of cool to see too.
Okay, gotcha. All right, I'm off my high
Are
horse.
Okay?
Let's do something fun. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
All right.
Until
well,
they give in. If they give in, then I'm starting over. Go ahead.
I don't think they'll give in. I don't think anybody cares all that much. Horses, the police horses stand there in front of crowds like that, too, and that's what they're trained to do, and they have a job. So, anyway, let's move on, shall we? Number one, the chat room is open. Go to Blog Talk Radio, and you can click on Horses in the Morning. There's a chat room there, and Jennifer and I are currently sitting in the chat room as well. So, I don't know if Glenn is. Glenn, are you in the chat room?
It crashes my switchboard every time I'm in the chat room, so I don't do it anymore. It breaks me.
Okay. Then what's really awesome is you can go to the chat room and we can bag on Glenn, and you
won't
know.
That's your spot to pick on me. That's right.
Yep. Perfect. It's basically your co-host and your wife in a chat room, and we will feel free to say whatever we want because you'll never see it. Perfect. Okay. This is 10 ways to get in shape if you own a horse. Now, I actually deleted two of them because they weren't very funny. But so it's 8 ways to get in shape if you own a horse. And we're going to go through the list real quick. I mean, this is serious. If you own a horse and you want to start to kind of get in shape, this is going to tell you how to practice. So number one way to get in shape if you own a horse is to drop a heavy steel object on your foot and then don't pick it up. All you have to do is shout out, get off, stupid, get off, get off, get off, get off, ow, 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 get off. And then you're learning how to deal with owning a horse. Number two, leap out of a moving vehicle and practice relaxing into the fall. Roll lightly into a ball and spring to your feet. Number three, learn to grab your checkbook out of your purse and write out a check for $500 without even looking. Don't even look at it. Number four.
And I would say that most horse women are already adept at that particular, except now this is that kind of outdated because it just should say grab your ATM card, you know, out of your credit card.
And swipe it with plug in your PIN number without actually looking.
By the way, at a store. When's the last time you wrote a check at a store? I can't remember.
Oh, they'd laugh at you if you write a check at a store.
And then everybody behind you in line goes, what the heck? Don't you have a card? You have to sit here and wait for you to write a check?
Yeah, I don't see people write checks in stores, but I write checks all the time, like to the farrier, and I'll mail a check to the vet or something like that, so I will do that. Number four, jog long distances while carrying a lead rope and holding out a carrot. And might as well let your neighbors what you're doing because they might think you're a little bit crazy. Number five, affix a pair of reins to a moving train and practice pulling it to a halt and then smile as if you're having fun so nobody knows how hard you're working. I like that. Number six, practice your lying skills. See, honey, moving hay bales is fun. And practicing this, I'm glad your lucky performance and multi-million dollar horse won you first place. I'm just thankful that my hard work and ability won me second place.
And then
the final two more. Lie face down in the mud in your most expensive riding clothes and repeat to yourself, I'm learning. This is a learning experience. I'm having fun. And number 10, the best way to get in shape to own a horse is just to marry money. Just marry money, because the best way to make money in horses, make $1 million in horses, is to start with $5 million. So congratulations. Good luck.
Yeah, that's probably
there you
true.
Go. That's another, yeah.
Hey, there's a story that is out of England today, and I want to we'll talk to our guest. John is the new host, co-host of the Eventing Radio Show, about it, because it kind of surprised me. And I do know Hugh Thomas, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, on a more serious topic, and I know we don't usually do those on Fridays, but we had the story Jamie covered the other day about about the autopsy report for Amy Tryon, the eventer who died suddenly. And more came out about that yesterday, and I just want to read it to everybody so everybody has a clarification. Remember we were saying we thought that she had gotten hurt. Well, that was the case. The toxicology report by the medical examiner's office found several drugs present in Amy Tryon's system at the time of death, including painkillers and things like that. Well, the Chronicle of the Horse, after Tuesday's announcement, contacted Greg Tryon, Amy's husband, and he said that 4 days before her death, Tryon's jaw was dislocated by a horse. 2 days later, she had had surgery to repair her injured jaw. So we were right. She had had an accident. And then he goes on to say she took way too many of her muscle relaxants plus pain medication that she was on for the jaw and apparently some other stuff as well. He said, you couple that all together and it's a lethal combination. She was taking it as her management of pain for the jaw. She wasn't on it prior to the event. According to the medical examiner, it wasn't the amount that was in her system. It was the different types. It was a poor choice on her part, and it had a disastrous effect. So that just clarifies a little bit about what we were talking about the other day with Amy Tryon.
You imagine how painful dislocating your jaw is on a horse? Oh, it just makes it makes me hurt. And just a tragic event that happened to an unbelievably strong woman. Just terrible. So I'm glad that was clarified. And he did go on to say, I believe that he would like this to not mar your memory of her, you know, because she was such an amazing horsewoman and an amazing rider and wife. So he doesn't want it to mar your opinion of her. She was in a lot of pain.
And how many times do we get prescriptions? And if you're taking something else or they give you two prescriptions, how many times do you go home and look to see if they go together? You trust your doctors. You know, you don't go home and do research on the internet. Does this drug go with this drug? You figure, well, I wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have given it to me if it didn't go together. You know what I mean? So,
definitely.
It's not something you would do.
I take
two
pills every morning when I get up. I take two pills. I've never even thought to see if they go together. I take that special pill that keeps me from, you know, being more in the family. And then I take an allergy pill. So I probably should do some research.
You probably should. You probably should. Well, why don't you help everybody with learning a little bit about Kentucky Performance Products, and then we'll go to our guest.
All right. Fantastic. Well, we'd like to thank Kentucky Performance Product for sponsoring every Friday. And all horses have individual nutritional needs, and we know that meeting them can be challenging. So it doesn't matter if you're professional or a weekend warrior, you want to provide the best nutrition necessary for your horse to thrive. And the experts at Kentucky Performance Products understand this, and they've developed supplements that target specific needs. Kentucky Performance Products are formulated to complement today's feeds and safeguard against over-supplementation. Best of all, their supplements actually work. With the extreme heat all over the country, the most important supplement to have on right now, have on hand, is electrolytes. Kentucky Performance Product Summer Games electrolytes were developed for the equine athletes at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, and they're formulated to replace both electrolytes and the trace minerals lost when your horse sweats. It's concentrated and allows you to easily feed the correct amount to meet your horse's challenging needs. For horses on the go, use Summer Games plus paste. Each dose contains a serving of Nalox Equine. Find all the products from Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. That is kppusa.com.
I know you used some electrolytes the other day when your horse was having a little bit of heat issue after her lesson. So,
yes, I did. I crammed that supplement down his throat, and you know what? It helped him out. So thanks to Kentucky Performance Products for that. It certainly made him feel a lot better, and it coated his stomach at the same time.
Very good. Well, we were very excited a couple of weeks ago to announce a new host on the Eventing radio show by the name of Samantha Clark. I used to work with her on the 2010 radio show for a couple of years. Samantha took over and was in the search for a co-host. Well, she found one now, and we would like to introduce that co-host to you. His name is John Kyle. John, you live in London?
I do, Glenn. Hi, how are you?
Good. So I wasn't sure. I knew you were in England somewhere, but I wasn't sure if you lived in the city or if you were outside in the suburbs.
I'm in a nice place. I can get easily to the motorways and head off to all my events, but I'm handy for the city. I probably live in the most awkward possible place, really, to get to the Olympic Games. That's about the only drawback.
Now, will you be heading over to the Olympics?
Yeah, luckily enough, I'm a live commentary announcer is my main thing. I do a good bit for TV as well on FEI TV, but I've been so lucky to be asked to be the live announcer, part of the live announcing team for cross country at the Olympic Games. So the biggest on the day audience of 55,000 in the park, best horses and riders in the world, doing the best thing in the world, eventing cross country.
Oh, dear God. Can I tell you, I'm going to listen to every Eventing radio show because I am just in love with your voice. Holy man. Woo! I got to turn the air conditioning down. I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
Well, you could come here to London because we've got a hose pipe ban and a drought, which means it hasn't stopped raining in 4 months.
Oh, perfect. I need to cool off. Sorry. Carry on.
John, welcome to the network officially. We appreciate you joining Samantha over there. We're going to have two lovely English voices over in that show.
Well, I'm going to put my foot down here now. I got cultured at university in Glasgow. How that happened, I should speak like Shrek. But I'm Irish. I grew up there in a big family steeped in horses. My mum and dad, Johnny and Gillian Kyle, were both listed for equestrianism at the Olympics, and my brother Mark represented Ireland at the Athens Games, and hopefully, fingers crossed, is going to take up one of the Ireland's five places for the London Games in a couple of weeks.
You mean you might be announcing your brother on the cross-country course?
Oh, yeah, but sure, you know, it's just that dozy boy who used to beat me up when I was smaller.
It's your chance for revenge there, John. Well, that's terrific.
Crazy, I tell them jump. Oh.
How cool is it that you're going to be doing the announcing at the Olympics? Now, you also do some work for FEI TV, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I don't do so much eventing for them. Basically, if we're coming live from an event in Europe, I'll go and do that. So I was at Le Moulin last weekend, and I was at the European Championships the year before, and also Po in southwest France. My main work for them is actually in World Cup dressage. I look after the Remacra FEI World Cup Dressage Western European League, which takes me to 10 indoor venues over the course of the winter, and it's a really good series. And we've had a couple of American visitors over to that. Catherine Haddad has ridden on it. And, of course, we have our visitors from the North American League over to the finals each year as well. So that's a great thing. I really enjoy working for FEI TV, and it's taught me a lot. I mean, coming from Ireland, I think I'll probably get in huge trouble, but dressage is not our forte. So when they rang me up after the World Equestrian Games and said, would you like to commentate on our World Cup dressage series? I went, you appreciate that watching 2 days of eventing dressage was more dressage than I have ever watched put together in my entire life. And they said, yes.
And that's from an eventing family.
Yeah. And I said, and I know very little about it. And they went, yeah, don't worry. You still know more than our other commentators. So come on, let's go and learn together.
Oh,
and you're going to wish you were on dressage at the Olympics. You were announcing for dressage this year, now that it's become the most famous sport in the world.
Oh, I tell you, it's, you know, well, I mean, we have our own heroes over here, you know, with the British gold medal winning team and Edward Gall and the Totalus now in Germany. But this whole thing with Mitt Romney's horse, my goodness.
So has that made its way over there, by the way? Sorry, Jamie.
Well, you know, I do. I look at four websites when I wake up in the morning: the BBC News, Horse and Hound, a car magazine that I like to follow, and Eventing Nation. So when it comes to American coverage, I'm able to pick it all up off John's website there, and pick up things out of the Horse Radio Network as well. Samantha tells me what's going on too.
You know, we have so much in common, because I look at those same websites every morning, you know, and the car website too. That's absolutely my favorite. I'm huge into cars. just kidding. No, but so yeah, obviously you know about it being, you know, not even in the United States because of Eventing Nation. And that's what I was going to ask, is it popular over there, kind of what's going on with Ann Romney's horse?
I think we're just interested. I mean, I'm aware of Stephen Colbert from when he used to be on. What's the Tonight Show he was on before he got his own Colbert Report? The Daily Show with John, whose surname
Stewart.
I can't remember, Stewart. So that show used to be here. So I knew about Stephen Colbert. So now, you know, everything rings in my mind and stuff. I don't think it's really hit the mainstream over there. I think it's only those of us who are trying to catch up with the round the world sport that hit into these websites and go, oh, okay, this is interesting. And of course, my good friend Brian O'Connor is involved in it all now as well. We both sat in the Alltech Arena at the horse park, learning about vaulting together. He was doing the live announcing, I was doing the FEI TV calling from the vaulting and the second week of the World Equestrian Games. And
I got news for you. I was sitting there with you guys the whole time as well. So we all learned about vaulting. Hey, we have some serious news we have to cover from London this morning. I thought you could help with this. Hugh Thomas, obviously well known in the eventing world, has his feathers in a ruffle. Have you
he sure
seen that
does.
Story? Yeah.
Yeah. Zara's godfather, director of badminton, Montreal Olympian, former chairman of the FEI Eventing Committee, and technical delegate, I think, at Atlanta in 96. So he knows his onions. Hugh is quite concerned that they're not going to allow general admission public access to the horse inspections at the London Games. The eventing horse inspections, I'd like to point out, because in the main, the dressage and show jumping horse inspections, although they take place, haven't developed into a sort of a part of the spectator experience as they have done in eventing. And Hugh was part of what they call the ad hoc committee, which is set up as a direct support to the organizing committee in any major crisis in eventing. Hugh's resigned his position on that, as he says he's fought this battle for long enough about allowing public access to these inspections, and he can't believe that it has changed here. The point to make is that they're not happening behind closed doors. Everyone who's accredited will be able to see them, which is everybody from every team. And therefore, the question of legitimacy of the horse inspections, I don't think we'll come into it. It is, of course, an awful shame, but what I think, particularly having the eventing in Britain or the Olympics in Britain, a lot of people don't quite understand that it's not going to be badminton, it's not going to be birdie, and there are compromises. I mean, I had a conversation with somebody a few weeks ago, and they were going, oh, well, I can't believe there aren't going to be any trade stands. And I went, well, the Olympics is about sport. If you can point out to me where the FEI rules are on trade stands, I'll get them put in. The reason for this compromise, I think, is to do with, first of all, on the first horse inspection, the opening ceremony. We are closer now to the Olympics than we've been probably since the 60s as a sport. You can stand on the hill in Greenwich Park, look across and see the stadium, and our riders will be staying in the Olympic Village. You know, you have to go back to the days when the D'Anzio brothers came and jumped the last part of the individual show jumping medal competition in the stadium on the last day of the games. for us to have been closer. Now, back in the 60s, there weren't, 55,000 people coming to cross country. There maybe weren't 50,000 people coming to the whole Olympic Games. Now,
right. You
were putting it into a city that's got a relatively old transport infrastructure, that's already one of the busiest cities in the world. Compromises have to be made. And actually, for something that is not part of the public spectacle experience, hasn't already been ticketed, I think something had to give, and it was that. The teams will get to see it. The thing will be legitimized. It's a shame that we can't carry it on as we traditionally do everywhere else. But I just think, we need to stay in the Olympic movement. We need to stay this close to the Olympic movement. I mean, the Hong Kong equestrian events versus Beijing was like the London Olympics holding equestrianism in Turkey. So, to be this close is brilliant. We've got to take the rough with the smooth. And I think, this is one of the things that's slightly on the rougher side. It's a shame that, Hugh has had to take this stand. And I agree with his point. It would be lovely to have had people in, but with, 4 weeks to the games to open a new ticketing structure for those two parts of the eventing, it's going to put our budget up again as well, which is something we've got to be very careful of.
Well, you make a good point. I wouldn't have even thought about the ticketing structure, but also the fact of the transportation. I know that what we've been reading is that the transportation issues have come to the forefront. How do you think it's gonna work out? I'm from Atlanta, and I was there for the 1996 Summer Olympic Games, and I only saw the last four horses show jump for the eventing thing because I was stuck outside the whole time. And there were so many of us. It was awful. The traffic was terrible. And, unless you got there 3 hours early, you missed it because it was just such a traffic jam. So how do you think it's going to play out here? Are people going to be so aware of it that they're going to go early or anything like that?
The tickets for each event actually give a reporting time. So whether you're going to table tennis, archery, or equestrianism, they suggest a time you should be in the park, which is significantly in advance of the first part of the session of competition. So they've tried to get people's minds working to get themselves there that early. And there's lots of options. I mean, you can get mainline train or surface train. You can get the Docklands Light Railway, which is like the BART in San Francisco. You can get the tube to nearby and then swap onto one of those other things. Buses have, good controlled bus lanes. And there's the river service as well. So if you find yourself in central London, you can get a river clipper down to
swim.
The dock at Greenwich. Or indeed swim. there's lots of options. And, I think it's going to be difficult. It's going to be busy. But, when the rain starts in summer, suddenly the tubes are crowded again because people have given up walking or cycling for that day. So,
Now, do you have any other Olympic summer sports that you're interested in, or other than equestrian, or are the horses it?
Well, because I'm working every day of equestrianism and of the Paralympics as well, because I'm doing the expert commentary on, they're going to issue or rent headsets to people, so that although the arena needs to be quiet, the stuff we could be explaining and interpreting for them. And this is going to roll out across a few sports. I think gymnastics is the obvious one. So I don't have many days off. I'm going to tennis at Wimbledon because it's quite close to home. And then I've got 3 days off at the end of the games when I haven't really organized anything and I might just take to the bed with exhaustion. But the day I'm supposed to go to tennis, I had forgotten we had tennis tickets. So I had busily organized myself tickets for archery, beach volleyball, and fencing. I thought I'd go and see all three of those.
Hold on. There's only one. There's one choice there. You know what it is, don't you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, archery is amazing.
No, beach volleyball, John. You got to go to beach volleyball. That's the only choice.
Well, beach volleyball's outside my old office at Horse Guards as well, and they've been very clever. They've sold sessions that have both women's and men's games so that everything sells.
Oh, yeah, because they know they weren't going to sell any men's.
Yeah, they would. Who are you talking about? Give me two. I'll take two tickets to that one. You know, you always get introduced to some really incredible sports when the Olympic Games comes around. You know, there's handball and, you know, learning about rugby, but taekwondo and judo, you know, I don't know anything about these. There's also weightlifting. You buy tickets and go watch guys lift weights. I can do that every weekend. Just go down to the local, you know, gym down the street and watch that. I mean, what sets these apart?
I think it's just the Olympism and the absolute, you know, effigy of their sport. You know, and you're absolutely right. There are people, I mean, my girlfriend's brother is one who suddenly becomes interested in sports once every 4 years.
He
might follow football normally or something, but suddenly he's into taekwondo or, as you say, the rugby sevens or what have you, and it's for 2 weeks only.
Yep.
Well, I got to tell you, John,
I remember, I'm sorry, Glenn, just for the Atlanta Olympics, my brother became the biggest ping pong fan, the table tennis. He was like, did you see John Kyle was over there and he was just this awesome ping pong player, and then this person did this and this person did that. I'm like, who are you talking about? He's like, table tennis, Jamie, table tennis, that's where it's at. I'm like, who are you?
I gotta tell you, I'm jealous though of going to Wimbledon for the tennis. I'm really jealous of that because I love tennis.
I've been there for the championships once before as well. Pippa, my girlfriend, is quite into her tennis. I don't really understand it, but I'm getting there and I'm looking forward to going back. It will be my third experience because I went to the ATP World Tour Masters as well, which is held indoors in the O2, and that was a fantastic experience. But while
would you do me a favor? Would you do me a favor and have some strawberries and cream for me while you're there?
I think I could manage that. Maybe a glass of Pimm's.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be good.
While we're talking Olympics, guys, I don't know if you know, but CBC Sports in Canada are running a vote off for who should carry the maple leaf at the opening ceremony. And Ian Miller, who's up to ride in his amazing 10th games, you can vote for him at the moment in CBC Sports, and I think everyone should go and do that. He absolutely deserves to carry his nation's flags, as he will be the most, he will have the most games appearances of any athlete, any sport, any nation ever.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. We'll post a link to that on our Facebook page. Thank you, John, for joining us. We really appreciate you calling from London, and we're looking forward to hearing you on the Eventing Radio Show.
We look forward to talking to everyone. Fun and challenges ahead.
All right. Thanks, John.
Cheers, Dan.
Samantha's
got
her hands full, doesn't she? He's a good guy.
No, it's going to be easy now. She just asks him a question, and he knows everything.
He's a neat guy. I had dinner with him when he was in for the WEG, and his girlfriend happens to be Pippa Room, who works for Horse and Hound. So he has a connection over at Horse and Hound as well. And Pippa's very, very nice. Pippa and I sat and watched that vaulting together that he was talking about at the World Equestrian Games every day for 3 days. So good guy, and we're very happy to have him here on the Eventing Radio Show. I think you're going to find it very interesting with his perspective. Especially coming into Olympic time. Well, yesterday we had a situation on the show. I played a song that made Jamie.
Wait, Glenn?
Yes?
Stop. You dropped out. So you played a song.
That made Jamie burst into tears for some reason. So I decided that today I needed to have a song that wasn't going to have Jamie burst into tears. So I decided it was either Pasofino or The Hero is a Clown. I'll let you choose which one you want to hear, because The Hero is a Clown is not going to make you cry, and neither is Pasofino, although Pasofino might make you cry for a different reason.
Hold on. I'm not familiar with The Hero is a Clown. Is that Dan Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if it comes between the Pasofino song and The Hero is a Clown, I think we should play Will to Win by Clayton Frederick. I guess I lost. Now Audrey doesn't have to hang up.
Cowboys have their own brand. brand of heroes. Some are living in the shadows, some on the silver screen. They're tough men, straight shooting as a fence rope, standing rugged as a line pole, and few and far between. But there's a man you may not think of as a hero, because his reputation plays it down. But at a rodeo, ask any bull rider, he'll even tell an outsider his hero is a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, to risk his life to keep them safe and sound. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. Well, don't let that painted face fool you, 'cause he can sure enough school you. He's been down the road from the finals all the way to Little Britches. He keeps a minute out of stitches, both young and old. So here's to all the boys that work the barrel, and all of you that fight 'em on the ground. When the dust clears, they mark the ride and the crowd cheers. It ain't changed in 100 years. The hero's still a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, from tie to Don to Jim to Freckles Brown. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. For the wild bull rider, the hero's still a clown.
That was Dan Roberts, the hero is a clown. Was that one okay? Are you all right? Did you need tissues for that one? Are we good? Oh, she's gone. We lost Jamie. She disappeared.
I'm right here. I'm sorry. I was crying into my coffee cup. No, just kidding. I'm good.
I actually like that song. That's a good song. Hero is a Clown.
I do too. I like Dan Roberts.
Yeah. Anything he sings is good. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. This show is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific supplements over at kppusa.com. Well, we've already done really a Horse Radio Network show highlight, the Eventing Radio Show, and John, who you just heard on our show, was co-hosting with Samantha this week, so head on over to Eventing Radio and check that out. They had some terrific guests. Well, I think it's almost time for Really Bad Ads, but we have a few minutes. Are there any other news stories you wanted to get out there, Jamie?
I'm sorry, I'm totally distracted because I went to CBC Sports.
Yeah.
And if you follow, not that anybody would, but women out there need to know about, you need to know about this, because this is something you can talk to your man about, because there's some sort of soccer championship, football championship going on, and you know, for some reason, like, my husband loves to watch when there's big, you know, it's I think the European Games is going on right now. And last night, a man named Cristiano Ronaldo, you might have heard of him, silenced critics because he, playing the Czech team, headed the ball into the goal and silenced the critics because he's, like, the most popular player in Portugal. When I was in Portugal, everybody wears Ronaldo jerseys. He is, like, I can't even liken him to an athlete. He's the LeBron James, I guess, of football, soccer. And last night he did this amazing header into the goal, and he won the game for his team. And the reason women need to know about this, and I'm going to explain why when I post a photo of this guy on Facebook. Good God, this is the hottest man on the planet. So I'm
not sure where we were going with that.
you just don't understand, Glenn. He's so good looking, and he actually like won the game last night. So now he's not only good looking, he's actually really good at his sport too. So ladies, last night Ronaldo saved the day, and I've just got to post it on Facebook. I have no idea what you were talking about, Glenn. I'm busy.
Just Google image Ronaldo.
You'll be happy.
I need to find some pictures of some beach volleyball girls and post them up there. There was did you hear about the security breach at the stables where Black Caviar was in England?
No, what happened?
Yeah, apparently two men got into the stables. They say it was sometime during the night, and they went up and took pictures of themselves with the world's best sprinter. And they apparently got caught, and now the powers that be have hired a security firm, and they've cordoned Black Caviar off. But think about that. I mean, these were two guys who just wanted to go up and take pictures. But imagine if it had been somebody with, you know, something nefarious in mind. They could have just gotten right in. Apparently, security was pretty lax, and they really didn't have any. So during the night, these two yahoos were able to go up and just do pictures and stuff. Could have been a bad situation.
Well, and, you know, what if he had, like, I mean, there's so many nefarious things that people can do, you know, having a sponge or anything like that. It definitely could be a big problem. So I can't believe that they didn't have amazingly tight security for her already.
I know, and they got in. So, you know, they're fixed that problem now. They hired a security
firm. I would hope so. And then, you know, former the place you used to live, Lexington, Kentucky, is doing actually a really big survey, Glenn. And maybe you can take a look at that story because my computer just froze uploading pictures of Ronaldo. So you may have to tell that story, Glenn.
Or I can let you hang and see if you remember anything about it. I could do either one, I guess.
Survey's still out. they're doing a survey for 15,000 horse people and trying to figure out, you know, the use of horses and how many people have horses and what the economy is around Lexington, Kentucky, because that is the economy around. What else can you think that Lexington, Kentucky does more than horses?
Alcohol. Large quantities of alcohol.
Such a healthy place. Bourbon, tobacco, and alcohol.
Tobacco's big. And you're right. Gambling. Tobacco's big.
Gambling. Well done. So again, I've almost got the story back up here.
Ah, Jamie, it's a boring story anyway. They're going to do a survey, see how many horses are there. Let's see really bad ads. What the heck? That's much better.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
I was leading into a story about the Kentucky Horse Park, thank you very much, where they're cutting tails off show horses again. So please beware if you're showing or if your horses are there. People are going back out and taking the tails off horses. So that's where I was going with that. Thank you very much.
We haven't had one of those stories in what seems like a year. What's up with that?
I know. And Porsche, it was a beautiful imported stallion that was in a stall at the Kentucky Horse Park, and somebody went and they said you could see the five scissor marks straight across it. And poor thing. So there you go. That's what I was going to lead into. Thank you very much.
Flex and Fork is what the prize is today by Equity Manufacturing. It is the manure fork that all of us use. Jamie uses it. Jennifer and I use it. Helena uses it. We all use it. We love this thing. It's the sturdiest, best fork that you're going to find out there. Jennifer, I loved your description. And what did you say in the opener again? I love that. Do you have that?
It's the fork that combines the handling and style of a Ferrari with the robust design and practicality of a Hummer.
Did you put that on the website? That's exactly right, actually. It is tough, yet agile. It's right. It's a good description, Jennifer. And, you know, these are terrific. We're giving one away. The last person that won one was Aubrey a month ago, and she absolutely loves it. She works at five different barns and carries the manure fork in her car because she doesn't want to use their crappy forks at the different barns. So she brings her own along. So that's the manure fork. It's called the Flex and Fork by Equity Manufacturing. They also have a motorized version of that called the Shake and Fork. You can find them both at equitymfg.com. And Joseph, the guy who runs that, very nice guy. Did you know that Joseph is a helicopter pilot and that he flies firemen into forest fires and drops them down from the helicopter into forest fires? Did you know that?
Yeah, I did, because he's been working on the fires here in Arizona.
Oh, really? In Colorado? Okay.
Yeah, he's been doing, I think down south of Tucson there was a big fire, and he said he was going to be down there. So, yeah, pretty impressive.
Something about him is something else that he's done. This is a guy that's done, like, a lot of stuff. It's only part of it.
Jennifer, before we get past this, I would like you to just go ahead and on Facebook, and I'd like you to meet Ronaldo, because I finally got it posted. So now I can focus on really bad ads. I haven't heard a word you said, Glenn, for like 10 minutes. Sorry.
So that's Ronaldo.
That's
he looks
Cristiano
like a jerk.
Ronaldo of Portugal. And by the
Ronaldo one that you were e-dating?
Unfortunately, I would have found it if it was Ronaldo. But yeah, no, the e-dating guy was some guy that played for England. So totally different team. And again, the story that she's talking about is when somebody MySpaced me for like a year, and I finally saw him on the BBC, and it turns out it was not the guy that I was talking to. It was a totally bogarted pictures from somebody else, a very hot soccer player in England, because why would I know about him? So this is Ronaldo, and in Portugal, the men do not look like him. So he is a freak of nature from Portugal. So there you go.
And we apologize to our Portuguese listeners. Let's do some really bad ads. It looks like I'm up first. By the way, just to clarify for new listeners out there, the people's names that we are reading here are the our listeners who have submitted the really bad ads. They're not the names of the people who wrote the really bad ads. Most of these are off of Craigslist or some other online advertising spot. So Robin has sent this really bad ad to us. It says, Thoroughbred Stallion, can deliver, Tucson. Oh, isn't that out your way, Jamie? How come they're always out in Arizona? Look, it says. Won over $100,000 in lifetime. Gorgeous thoroughbred, T-H-O-R-O-U-B-R, it's just bad. A proven stallion for sale. Selling due to personal health issues and financial reasons. This is the line that I love. His name is A to Z, and he was fathered by Alphabet Soup. I love that. That's cool. You can have a horse named A to Z who was fathered by Alphabet Soup. I wonder what mom's name's
was. That is a good name, A to Z, because Alphabet Soup is a great horse. So it's actually bred well. Maybe I should go down to Tucson and take a look at it. I'll have a big old thoroughbred breeding stallion. What a good idea. Yeah. Thanks.
It says price negotiable, so, you know, what the heck? You know, what you should do? You should have her send a video of some strange horse to you so that you can look at that before you go.
Did you read the responses that we got?
Oh, we got to do that. Let me go back. There's one in particular that I have to read that I absolutely love. Let me find it. Tell the story here a little bit, and then I'll look for it.
So, you know, I just posted, I went to go look at a horse, and the lady sent me a video, and I'm like, wow, this is a really impressive horse. Chestnut with a big wide blaze and two white socks behind. I get to see the horse, I get there, and it's a chestnut with like a kind of skinnier blaze and one white sock on the front leg. And the horse is crazy. And I so she tried to pass it off as the horse from the video. And I said, this is not the same horse that was in the video. And she's like, well, it has the same name. I'm like, are you kidding me? So the worst experience is that you've had bizarre horse shopping. I wanted to see what people have online. And there's a couple of them that were pretty funny. But, my God, Amanda, this is what we've – I have
you're not
gonna, about this.
Don't tell Amanda's yet because Amanda is coming on with us Monday morning. She has agreed to come on with us Monday morning. So you don't tell Amanda's. I'll tell you, I'll read you Brenda's. Had a woman try a horse, then get off, leaving him standing in the middle of the arena. She walked about 50 feet from him, then turned and ran full speed at him, screaming the whole way. She said she was checking to see how spooky he was. Are you kidding me?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I would have cheered if the horse would kick her in the face.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the things that people do while selling
anyway,
a horse.
Right,
anyway, back to ads. All right, a different Robin sent this one in, a six-year-old bay mare, $1,200, Reading area. I guess that's Pennsylvania. We are selling our 13 two-hand bay mare. She is 6 years old. She is very stout and pretty. She has great conformation and is an easy keeper. She loves the trail, good with other horses. She can pony or carry saddlebags. She has no spook. Or bolt, she loves the water, no buck, no rear bit or kick. She has been great pleasure horse and needs to go somewhere where people will use her. She will do whatever you ask. She has great feet, 100% sound. We welcome a vet check. She is healthy and a blast to ride if you're looking for a safe, sound, fun ride. She is the one for you. Whoever gets her won't be disappointed. She is awesome. We can deliver.
Disappointed. She
no
is awesome.
No periods in the whole thing. Just lots of... lots of spaces, like, and she hit enter after all these things. So no punctuation on the whole thing, but it's spaced out pretty good, appropriately.
Jennifer, I want you to post the next picture on our Facebook page and put the ad, not the phone number, but put the ad too, because it just says it all. It's a horse-drawn wagon for $100, axle and wheels for horse-drawn wagon, $100. Now, in the picture, there is some wheels, three of them that we can see, and then there's no really evidence of a wagon because the whole entire thing is covered in sticks and branches, and there looks like there's weeds growing through it. There might be some fencing and a telephone pole piled on top of it. It's just this big pile of crap. I guess you have to dig it out yourself if you want the wheels of the horse-drawn wagon because, whew. That's a picture.
When you say it's a big pile of crap, like what the problem is and if I may describe what is on this, it looks like there's, I don't know if those are jump poles or metal pipes, and then there's a two telephone poles sitting on top of it, and it looks like a round whole roll of barbed wire fencing or no-climb fencing that's rusted. And then on top of that, because it's been sitting here for so incredibly long, there are thorns and brambles and weeds that have totally grown all the way over the whole thing. So you would need a machete or a match to be able to get any of this out. And then you as well just continue to light the whole dang thing on fire because it ain't worth $100. It's not worth your time to even write an ad.
You know what I found interesting about this picture? The background. The rest of the place is beautiful, well-trimmed. Grass is mowed, no weeds, just this one pile, which is why I'm trying to get rid of it, I guess.
I guess so. It's like they moved in and that was left there, and they're like, let's see if we can cash in. Why not?
Thank you, Glenn.
Ridiculous. Marguerite Glasgow posted the next one, and this is in all capital letters, and I don't feel like yelling at you guys. So imagine that this person is yelling, looking for someone that wants to board a horse. Looking for someone that wants to board a horse with mine. I don't want to buy another horse, so I'm looking for someone that wants to board a horse with mine. I think it's about 2 acres. There's no water. I bring water, and I can also feed for you on there 2 or 3 times a day. I'm asking $100 a month. There is shelter. Email me, current Coggins, a must. So let me get this straight. You've got a 2-acre field in the middle of nowhere where there's not even water, and you have to pay $100 a month to keep your horse with yours because your needs some company.
That's basically it. And can you imagine what the shelter looks like? She didn't say exactly what the shelter was. Can you imagine? Yeah, think about it.
No, I certainly can't imagine carting water to a 2-acre property for horses. You know, what if you miss a day? A warning. Don't, if anybody, any of our listeners were thinking about boarding their horses at this place, please don't. Just in case you were thinking about it.
Well, Shepherd sent in the next one. She gets our horse trailer picture of the week. And it says two horse side by side, $200. And I got to give them credit. They were at least weren't trying to charge $1,000 like most of them do. We have a step up. Yes, I guess it would be a step up. Two horse side by side trailer without a divider, 2-axle fixer upper, but we are selling it cheap. Please don't email me, call my number. It's a two horse trailer, like you would picture almost a typical two horse trailer, with the exception of, I think it's homemade. And I have never, it has 4 flat tires. It is made out of wood on the sides. It looks like it is homemade. That has to be homemade. And it's the first trailer that we've had in 1.5 years that has chicken wire instead of windows. You did it with chicken
You're
wire?
You're right.
I have never seen chicken wire on one of our crappy trailers before. This has chicken wire. This is one handsome beast.
And
this is great compared to some of them.
What's really awesome is that the chicken wire is actually not fitted to the trailer, so there's plenty of holes in the chicken wire where you could just stick a leg right through. So not only will you have that, you'll get a great deal on the trailer, the vet bill will be a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, and bring your own tires because these things are shot. You're not going to roll this around for $200. Yeah,
no.
Definitely homemade. Piece of paint.
Yeah. It does. It's blue and rust, so it's really pretty. The next one I found in my search for a school horse here in Arizona. This one was in Whitman, Whitman is the same town that I went to when I saw the lame horse, the really really really,
oh, really?
Lame horse with the, you know, yeah. So same town, and I was really I'm proud to say I live, you know, half an hour from Whitman, because this is a 3-year-old thoroughbred mare. 3-year-old thoroughbred mare for the steal of a deal at $500. And I want you to guess what her name is when we're done.
Okay.
Whiskey is a 3-year-old thoroughbred mare that has been used to trail ride on. She was rode by a 12-year-old girl and a 50-year-old man. Whiskey would make anyone a great horse. Whiskey loves to be brushed and played with, and Whiskey likes water as well. Doesn't every Whiskey like some water? Enjoys other horses. Whiskey is good with picking up all 4 of her feet and is good with the farrier as well. Whiskey is up to date on everything. Whiskey is ready for someone to give her forever a loving home. If you have any more questions about Whiskey,
can you repeat that one again?
Which one? Good. Which line?
A loving home. I love that one. Just read that part.
Whiskey is ready for someone to give her a forever and loving home.
All Whiskey is.
If you have any more questions about Whiskey, feel free to ask. Thank you for looking at Whiskey. What's the horse's name? I was unclear about that.
Bourbon?
Bourbon. Unbelievable.
Whiskey is ready for someone to give her a forever and loving home. Yes, every bottle of whiskey is, if you think about it. That's no truer statement has been made.
And whiskey goes with water really well. You just need some ice.
On the rocks. Our friend Tammy Trance from the Western Radio Show sent us in. I love this one she sent in. Buck your butt off. Yes, he will. $600 from Joshua, Texas. All in capitals. Judge is a big red roan ranch gelding, guaranteed to buck your butt off. If you think you're cowboy enough to ride him, then holler. He's sure for sale. Gentle on the ground, takes a bit, but not a rider. About 15.3 hands, haven't found anyone who can ride him yet. It will take a true cowboy, not a wannabe. I got to tell you, this is the cleverest damn ad we've had yet, because he has just challenged every cowboy in Texas to come ride his horse for him. Hasn't
he? That's exactly what I was thinking when I saw this one, because, you know, this horse, you're honest. He will buck you off. you know, what are you going to do with him? Yes, the asking price of $600 may be a little bit much for Judge the Bucker, but the fact that you're honest, he will buck you off, and then you turn it into a male cowboy testosterone-induced challenge. What a good idea.
He's going to have him lining up at the gate.
I can ride that horse.
What a fantastic. I'll get on him. I'm a true cowboy. I'm not a wannabe. Let me on him. That's what will happen. I love it, Tammy. Thank you. The next one comes from Aubrey Miller. Aubrey, Mustang quarter horse for lease, $150. Now, this is a deal. Hi, I'm looking for an intermediate to advanced rider to lease my horse to. He is 6 years old and has a few habits that need to be worked on. He is an abused rescue, and he is very jumpy around men. He stands about 15'1", and he's as sweet as he can be, and he needs someone to help me keep him in shape since I'm still in high school and can't get out to the barn every day. If you are interested, all I will ask that Western is preferred with him and you have patience since he has a problem with the saddle. He never bucks or rears when being saddled. He just doesn't stand still. And I also ask that if you're interested, you do sign a waiver stating that you will not sue me or the man I board with if something were to happen, which I hope it never does. I can send pictures of him on request. All I ask is $150 a month, and you get to ride whenever you'd like throughout the month, unless I'm riding him. So thanks for reading. Happy trails. So let me get this straight. Let me break this down. So there's a girl who doesn't have time for her crazy bleep horse. And so she needs somebody to come train it. But the deal that you get as the trainer, of course, unless she's riding it, is that you get to pay her $150 a month to be able to have the pleasure of riding her crazy-ass horse. Wow. Call her up. Aubrey, I don't know how you didn't take her up on this deal. You must have called, too.
I love that. You have to sign a waiver stating that you will not sue me when my horse kills you.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope it never does. What I like is that you can ride whenever you want, unless I'm riding him.
Awesome. Stephanie sent in the next one. Thank you so much, Stephanie. It's picking up a lot of noise here. Are you guys hearing that?
What is that? Jennifer, is that you?
No.
Go ahead.
I don't know what that's from. All right, so here we go. Stephanie sent this one in. Sorrel Gelding, $650 from Cherry Vale, Kansas. Well, here is a 15-hand horse and broke, so he is 7 and still needs a job. He has been around kids and been on trails and down rides easy to take care of. Depends on the person saddling him. Still a little nervous sometimes, but gets over it fast. If you can use a young horse to work with, now then give me a call. Got that?
Yeah, what I liked was, you know, not any correct punctuation or spelling, because I don't know how you got through that because everything is spelled wrong, but didn't do the dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like a lot of dot, dot, dots. There's about 100 dot, dot,
There's
dots.
There's a
and
whole lot. And,
we
and
only
and
have like 12 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, usually you do the three dots, and this one is, well, here's a 15-hand horse and broke, dot, 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 dot. So he's 7 and needs a job, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, you're right. It would have been ridiculous.
Yeah, it would have been
well
way too many dots. Why don't you do Dawn's, and then we'll do the winner.
Okay, Dawn Filer. You want to do it? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll do Dawn's, and then you do the winner. We'll skip mine and save that for next week. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Dawn Filer sent this one in, an AQHA mare, $1,000. I have a beautiful mare. She was born in April 10th, 2004. She is broke to ride. She is not to be rode, or she has not been rode in 2 years. Her sire is Ryan's Texas Nugget, and her dam is Winsome Windsong. Sounds pretty, Winsome Windsong. I do have a payment plan where you can put some money down on this horse, but I only give you 3 months to pay her off. And I don't want to do any refunds back on any horses that I sell, because you could keep me from selling it to someone who has cash to pay for her. So make sure this is what you want before you buy it and put any money down on her, because I will not refund you any money back at all.
Again, I say make sure this is what you really want before you put money down on this horse, because you will not get your money back after putting it down on her. I will keep your money. After you get her paid for, I will give you the horse and the papers on her. And if you want to move her or you would like to board her here, I charge $150 a month. And don't you ask for any of that back either. No, I added that.
You did. So this is great because the price of this horse, Glenn, is
Maybe
only
$1,000. I will not give you a refund. I'm telling you right now, you put money down, you better damn well buy this horse.
Well, and the thing is, like, I'll give you, I can't afford $1,000 horse because the purchase price is clearly the most expensive part of owning a horse. I can't afford the $1,000, so I'm going to give you $800, and then I'll come back and get her in 3 months when I have the other $200, and then seriously, the lady up and moves and takes your money. So this is a total scam waiting to happen, and yeah. Making payments on $1,000 horse. You know, I've talked to people that are selling horses in this whole thing, and they're like, somebody wants to put her on a payment plan. And I'm like, honey, do you really want to sell your horse to somebody who can't spend $1,000 on a horse? Because if you can't spend $1,000 on a horse, you shouldn't have a horse. Because
no, you can't,
that's the cheapest.
You can't afford to buy hay for the horse. Yeah.
No, definitely yeah. Not this time of this time. All right, and our winner is going to win. Glenn, tell her what she's won.
The winner is going to win an Equity manure fork. This is the Flexen fork, the one that Jamie and I both use and absolutely love, and the one that Aubrey won a couple of weeks ago. And you can find all of those forks at equitymfg.com.
That's your commercial voice. You just read that last ad and that whole thing in your commercial voice.
My commercial voice.
You're doing a commercial. All right, so the winner is Celeste Coulter. Celeste Coulter, congratulations. Because what she wrote is, this is the best ad ever. And I do agree, Celeste, that it could be the best ad ever. What is that doing? You hear the static, Glenn?
No, I do not hear static.
Okay. So this would be the best ad ever, Celeste, if it wasn't going to take me 27 minutes to read it, because it was an ad and then an update. Yes, it was. So I edited down to just the bright spots. Now, the first part of it is written just as read just as she wanted, but then she did all these updates. I just cut all that out because it would have taken too long. So here you go. This is in Detroit, because apparently horses are very popular in Detroit. I have a used bright purple pony halter for sale, adjustable and in fairly good condition. A pony will be included with the halter. I currently call this pony Juicy, although he goes by many other names as well, depending on my mood and his behavior. This pony is just waiting to become somebody's little dream pony. This 12.2-hand 7-year-old pony is fantastic if you're into the type of equine that's constantly invading your space, your vehicle, etc. He believes he needs to be everywhere you need to be, especially when food is present. He is in great shape if you consider round a shape. He has never met a horse trailer he didn't like. He climbs in them every chance he gets, whereupon he immediately puts his feet up on the manger so he can look out the window. He made it halfway in the back of my car the other day before I noticed and then sped off. He loves little kids, especially little kids with treats. He will eat them. The kids, not the treats. I'm serious. This pony has been worked over 2 6 jumps and then lunged over 3 3 jumps. However,
what?
He loves. Yeah, it gets better. This pony has been worked over 2 6 jumps. Yeah. That's like the horse that I went to see that was lame, jumped 4 foot, Glenn. So you got it. It is a really bad ad.
Okay.
Somebody selling a horse. This pony has been worked over 2 6 jumps and lunged over 3 3 jumps. However, he prefers jumping my 4 foot pasture gate the best. He could absolutely be someone, in parentheses, else's dream pony. He's very affectionate, both with people, especially women, and horses, especially mares. This little guy is the neighborhood gigolo. By affectionate, I mean he will have no issue invading your personal space, private parts, if you know what I mean. He sticks his nose wherever he wants it. With mares, he is lucky because he is quick enough and he will mount mares, even the ones who have a headache. He is not at all discriminating, although I've noticed he likes the fuller figured gals. His absolute favorite is mounting a mare while a woman is on the mare. Ask my friend Lisa. I'm sure she considered that a really good time. And when rejected, you can see that clearly he is thinking about the female, that the female is merely playing hard to get. This just makes him more determined. This porky little guy very much thinks that he's got what the ladies want, even if they don't know it yet. I love this part. He reminds me of the little guy at the bar who hits on everybody, who you practically have to blow an air horn in his face to get rid of. Everybody knows that guy. Did I mention that he could be the perfect dream pony for somebody else? Now, call me. Oh, Juicy is a fantastic workout companion. I've lost 15 pounds since I've had him because I've never run so much in my life, either after him or from him. Did I mention that he'd be perfect for somebody else's dream pony? Call me if you want a used purple halter and you are a glutton for punishment. So I need to mention that I'm also willing to take trades for the used purple halter, dream pony included. I will take a Louis Vuitton purse, a bad case of poison ivy, a BMW Z3 convertible, silver preferably, definitely not red, that's not a good color for me, or a stick in the eye. I think I will update this if I can think of anything else I would accept. So, love that. I will also trade a horse for a BMW Z3 convertible, silver. I'll even take red. Just let me know what you want. Which one? I'll give them all to you.
I wish this phone number had stayed in this ad because I would be calling it right now. This is one of the best written. I don't know if it's a bad ad. It's one of the best written ads we've ever had. This person has to be an author. They're funny. A comedian.
I want a little pony. Has a home yet. You do?
A little yes, I do, because he's a comic genius, this pony. He's terrific. He would be the inspiration for so many stories on this show, wouldn't he? I would have stories to tell every day owning this pony. I want to own this pony. But I went to the ad and it's already taken off. It's already taken off. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, man. Too bad. Too bad. You could have, could have shipped him this pony from Detroit all the way down to Florida.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate you sending in your really bad ads. Thank you to Equity Manufacturing for providing today's prize. We will need Celeste Coulter to send Jennifer at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com your address and shipping information so we can make sure that Equity gets the flex and fork out to you. So that's it, Jamie. You have a terrific weekend in the heat in Florida. Everybody stay cool. Ride early. Hang around in the house. Watch Black Caviar run tomorrow. If you get that.
Good luck, Black Caviar. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. And spay, neuter, and geld, people. My husband's coming home Saturday. Woohoo!
Oh, good. You're not mad at him anymore?
I'm still mad at him. He's going to have to work, but don't worry. I've left lots of horse poop everywhere, and the pool is green, so he'll be fine.
Bring your helmet.